Unity.com.
All right. Sorry, I just needed to keep it going there. Hey, Rob, if you could maybe back my vocal down a little bit out here. Bob's going to do some magic probably, too. All right, so again, apologies for the online crew, those who are watching at home. I will stare right into the camera and apologize. I thought we had the situation squared away from our sound, but it turns out we were close, but no cigar. So give us some feedback if you can. If you're hearing me okay, if you're not, we can do some things to move the camera closer. Ed's trying to make it magical so you can still see the monitor and that sort of thing. So if you can hear me okay, great. I know half of you are probably going to say, it sounds fine, and the other half are going to be, I can't hear you. So I don't know what we do then. But we are glad that you're with us, and hopefully you're hearing everything okay. And Ed will just chase me if that's what we have to do, okay? So that's Ed's cameraman job today, is to just chase me. So make it fun. Ed didn't know he was going to have such a stressful morning. But he gets to unwind going to the Packer game later on today. So, you know, yeah, that's the way it is. Can we, Bob, can we just bring this way down here? I'll talk louder. All right, so, we're doing this. All right, okay, we're good? Thank you. Thank you for your patience online and those who are here. So raise your hand, if you could, if you are a chess player. Okay, we got a couple. How about if you played a little chess? Okay, how about if you ever played chess? All right, are we there at all now, Bob? Are we, like, totally gone? Never mind. All right. Well, chess can be a tricky game, like especially when you're first getting started and learning to play. Like, it's hard to remember all of the moves that each piece makes, right? So pawns can go like one space forward or two if it's the first time, but they can also take over a piece diagonally, right? So there's just a certain number of moves that the pawns have, and the knights, they can move like two forward and one to the left, or two forward and one to the right, or one forward and two to the left, and one forward and two to the right, or backwards, or some combination of two and one, forward, sideways, whatever, right? Like, that can be kind of confusing. Queens, they can move as many spaces as they can in any direction, right? And kings, they can move in any direction too, but only one space. And there's probably a comical analogy to something about marriage in there someplace. But I'm just going to let you kind of fill in the blanks on that one, okay? So it can be pretty overwhelming when you're learning how to play chess and you're like looking at the board and there's all the moves that you've got to navigate. What could I do? What should I do? I don't know. Now, once you get the moves down, you can start focusing on maybe a little bit of strategy, right? Like, how can I navigate this board so that it gives me a position of strength? And eventually, you're going to discover some sequences that are really effective ways to open or effective ways to kind of, you know, trap the king or whatever. You're going to discover some of those that put your opponent at a disadvantage. And the problem is, the better your opponent is, the easier it is for them to see it coming, right? Like, so they counter with moves of their own. Well, in chess, every move has the possibility of taking you one step closer to victory. And every move also has the possibility of leading to your demise. All right, now that's maybe a little bit of a dramatic, interpretation of what's going on. It seems like a little extreme if it's just a game of chess, but you know, what if we're not really talking about the game of chess, right? What if we're talking about the moves that we make in our life? Because there are moves that we make that will honor God, and there are moves that we make that won't. So we're picking things up in 1 Peter chapter 2, in verse 11. That's where we're going to launch into this morning. If you want to turn there, you're welcome to in your Bibles or your Bible apps. But I need to just kind of review what we talked about last week before we dive in. So last week, what we discovered was that there are a couple of things that Peter talks about that are true of us in verses 4 through 10. First of all, we come to Jesus, right? As you come to him. And he is the living stone. He's the living hope, the one we put our faith and trust in. But first of all, we come to him. Second, we get built up. We get built up like living stones into a spiritual house or like a royal priesthood or a holy nation. We're a people of God's own. So first we come to Jesus, then we get built up. And then the last part is that we get built up for a reason. It's that so that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Right? So we come to Jesus, we get built up, and we proclaim his excellencies. Right? Those are the three. In fact, that's the expectation for us as followers of Jesus. Right? So last week we talked about how we can proclaim his excellencies in three specific ways. There can be more, but three ways. In our worship, right? By praising and acknowledging his goodness. We just spent some time doing that as a community together this morning. We can praise his excellencies in our words by telling people about what he's done for us, who he is, sharing the truth of Jesus. And we can proclaim his excellencies in our ways. In our ways, in other words, by how we live our lives. Now, that last one, in our ways, proclaiming his excellencies in our ways, is, it's kind of a launch point, really, for just about everything Peter's going to talk about in the rest of chapter 2, and chapter 3, and chapter 4, and most of chapter 5, right? Now, of course, Peter didn't write with chapters at the time. We understand that. There were no verses and subheadings. It was just a letter. But the point is, everything else in this letter is like a how-to manual for proclaiming God's excellencies in our ways. So that's where we're headed over the next few weeks. In other words, what it's doing for us is describing the good moves in life that that God wants us to make. Okay, so before we dig into it, though, got to ask a serious question. And I think it's something for all of us to really, truly consider. And here's the question. I should go this way for the people online. Do you intend to strive to live your life in a way that proclaims his excellencies? Right? Do you intend to strive to live your life in a way that proclaims his excellencies? See, how we answer that question is pretty important in light of all the things that we're going to read about over the next few weeks. So if the answer to that question is yes, that I do intend to strive to live my life in a way that proclaims his excellencies, then these words we're going to hear this morning and in the coming weeks are going to be really helpful for us because they describe some of what God wants from us as followers of Jesus. We don't have to wonder about how he wants us to live our life, right? We just have to listen up, right? And look in his word and then strive to follow what it says. Now, the reality is that we may, even if we're striving to do our best, we may have to wrestle with some things in the text that we might not be too excited about. There's going to be issues and ideas and instructions that aren't too popular in our society these days. There's going to be things that we just struggle with, we don't agree with. There might be some things we have to come to terms with when we consider the ways we've been operating. And maybe that's not always in line with God's heart. And so we'll be challenged to make some changes, maybe even some big ones. Right? So, and all of that is a little bit heavy, but that's if the answer is yes. Right? That's if the answer is yes, I'm going to strive to live my life in a way that proclaims his excellencies. Now, if the answer to that question is no, as we're sitting here this morning or listening, that we have no intention of living the way, in a way that proclaims his excellencies, then maybe we have to assume that we're really not a follower of Jesus because we're choosing not to follow him. Right? Or at the very least, we haven't learned to trust him for what's best. But here's the reality, knowing what Jesus did for you and for me on the cross. I mean, who wouldn't want to pursue the kind of life that he calls us to after everything he's done for us? Now, for many people, at least much of the time, I think here's the bigger issue. It's not that we're not interested in doing it, and it's not that we don't want to say yes, but as followers of Jesus, we kind of settle by landing somewhere in the middle. Right? Like, we hear his words. We read his words. We even believe like they're a good idea. And we aren't really rejecting them in our mind because we do acknowledge them and we think that that's right, but there's just some things that maybe we're not buying into. At least not wholeheartedly. And so maybe we pick and choose which parts we want to follow and we kind of disregard the rest. But we're talking about God's word. Right? It's supposed to matter to us. Proclaiming his excellencies in our ways is the end result, the certain outcome, the expected response for us when we put our faith and trust in Christ. And to do that, we have to grab onto God's truth and live it out. Okay? So, with all that being said, let me ask that question once again. Do you intend to strive to live your life in a way that proclaims his excellencies? And my prayer is that our sincere answer, both for you and for me, would be yes. Yes, that's what we long for. So to that end, let's pray before we dive into the verses we're looking at this morning. Heavenly Father, we know that your word is truth. We know that in our minds. We believe that in our hearts. But your desire is for us to be able to live that out. So this morning and over the next few weeks as we dive into what your word has to say, we pray that our spirits would be wide open to you and to what you have in store. Help us to embrace what you put before us. Help us to acknowledge your truth and to strive to live it out the very best we can. We know we won't be perfect. You know we won't be perfect. But we ask for your strength to be moving forward in that way and to make good moves, moves that honor you and live according to your word. In the name of Christ we pray. Amen. Amen. All right, so this morning as we dive into 1 Peter chapter 2, we're going to look at two verses, right? Two verses, but it is going to take us to a bunch of other scripture passages. So there'll be some references on here. I'm not going to have you look those all up, but I'll read through them, and there'll be references on the screen this morning. So 1 Peter 2:11 says this, "Beloved, I urge you as sojourners and exiles to abstain from the passions of the flesh which wage war against your soul." We're stopping right there. "Beloved, I urge you as sojourners and exiles to abstain from the passions of your flesh which wage war against your soul." Right? It's interesting that the word he starts here, he says beloved, he calls us beloved, right? Well, he calls his audience beloved, but by extension, this is for us. That's the first thing we need to hear. Right? We are loved by God. We are loved by God. And if you think about it, that's a way better motivator than fear. Right? As a parent, I don't want my kids to obey me because they're scared of me. As parents, you probably don't want the same thing, right? You don't want them to obey you because they fear you. You want them to obey you because they know you love them. and that you want what's best for them. Right? It's the same thing with God. If we live our lives in fear of God, we're going to see all of these instructions or things that he wants us to do as just rules to be kept, like God is up there with lightning bolts in his hand, ready to strike us down at any moment. And by the way, he's a little bit bored, so he's looking to let loose, right? That's sometimes the way we picture God. That's not the picture God wants us to have of him. We are his beloved, his divinely loved ones, right? This is the same word that, or the same root word that God said about Jesus when he was baptized by John. In Matthew 3:17, and behold, a voice from heaven said, "This is my beloved Son with whom I'm well pleased." Right? So God loves you and God loves me just as he loves Jesus. I know I say that a lot because I need to be reminded of that all the time. It's really easy to picture a God who loves Jesus because Jesus was perfect. But when we mess up, it's tough to believe that that's really true for us too. But we're called beloved, just like God called Jesus his beloved Son. So God loves you just as he loves Jesus. Don't do the things he wants because you fear him. Do them in love because you are his beloved. And then he says, as sojourners and exiles. Now remember, when Peter opened this letter, he was writing to a group of churches. This was going to many different churches of different kinds of people, but he addressed them as the elect exiles or the chosen exiles. Exiles are, right, people who are walking in this place as a foreigner, as a stranger, as an alien. And that's true of us in this world. This world is not like the one we're destined for. Right? This world is truly not our home. So we are supposed to look different and live differently than the world around us. So sojourners and exiles, abstain from the passions of the flesh. Right now, as followers of Jesus who have the Holy Spirit within us, we are told to live and walk by the Spirit, not according to the ways of the world or the passions of the flesh. Right? God's word tells us this in numerous places. Now, in this particular passage, Peter doesn't like list out or mention what those things are. He does get to a few things in the next couple chapters that we'll break down a little bit and look at. But here, he doesn't specifically say that. He just kind of says, generally, abstain from the passions of the flesh. Now, in God's word, it gives us plenty of description of what that is about. Okay, so I'm going to hit you with a couple of passages that describe quite a bit of this. So 1 Corinthians 6:9-10. Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Don't be deceived. Neither the sexually immoral, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor men who practice homosexuality, nor thieves, nor the greedy, nor the drunkards, nor revilers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. Ephesians 4:30-31. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice. Ephesians 5:3-5. But sexual immorality and impurity and covetousness must not even be named among you, as is proper among saints. Let there be no filthiness or foolish talk or crude joking, which are out of place. But instead let there be thanksgiving. For you may be sure of this, that everyone who is sexually immoral or impure, or who is covetous, that is an idolater, has no inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. Colossians 3:5-10. Put to death, therefore, what is earthly in you: sexual immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. On account of these, the wrath of God is coming. In these two you once walked when you were living in them, but now you must put them all away: anger, wrath, malice, slander, and obscene talk from your mouth. Do not lie to one another, seeing that you have put off the old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in the knowledge after the image of its creator. And here's a passage that probably specifically, not only does it mention so many of these things, but it says that these are the works of the flesh most directly. Okay, Galatians 5, 19 through 20. Now the works of the flesh are evident. Sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and things like these. I warn you, as I warned you before, that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Right now, these are all passages that Paul wrote, but when Paul wrote these things, he said, look, those who do such things and things like these, right? This is not like just intended to be a complete list, but it's kind of like Paul saying, you get the idea. You get the idea. And he says that the works of the flesh are evident. They are apparent. They are known. In other words, they are obvious to those who have the Spirit of God within them. So, if we read through this list and don't see behaviors like these as problematic, we probably aren't reading it right. We probably aren't seeing it right. Because none of these things are of God, his word says. None of these things proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. These are things of darkness. So abstain from them, he says. Avoid them. These things are bad moves for us. These things are bad moves. And he goes even further to say these things wage war against our souls. I mean, if you think about it, sometimes we take sin kind of lightly. Sometimes we might even look for ways to justify or make okay the behaviors that Scripture just clearly said right here are sins. But engaging in these things that are fleshly and worldly starts to shrivel our soul. It wages war with our soul, Scripture says. And when we engage in them, eventually you may even find yourself slowly walking away from Jesus. And that's not where you want to be. Right? So abstain from the passions of the flesh which wage war against your soul. Don't make these bad moves, Peter says. Now again, these are some pretty heavy words. I understand that. But now, here comes the flip side. Okay? Here comes the flip side. Verse 12, 1 Peter 2:12. Keep your conduct among the Gentiles honorable, so that when they speak against you as evildoers, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day of visitation. So keep your conduct honorable, he says. The word we translate honorable here, kalos, it refers to being beautiful, right? As an outward sign of the inward good in us. It's having noble, honorable character, good, worthy, honorable, noble, and seen to be so. And on top of that, we're supposed to display godly conduct that is attractively good. Like conduct that we're supposed to conduct ourselves so well that it inspires or motivates others to embrace it because it's lovely. Right? We live in a way, in other words, that is appealing and winsome to others because it displays God's heart. Now again, Peter doesn't spell this out here in this verse. But these things are described in Scripture too. And the thing that I really want to have us catch here is that these are oftentimes in the same letters that we just heard those heavy words from about what is not a good move. And if they're not to the same in the same letter, they're oftentimes to the same people. So, we heard from 1 Corinthians. Here's 2 Corinthians 7, 4 through 10. The servants of God, we commend ourselves in every way by great endurance in afflictions, hardships, calamities, beatings, imprisonments, riots, labors, sleepless nights, hunger, by purity, knowledge, patience, kindness, the Holy Spirit, genuine love, by truthful speech and the power of God, with the weapons of righteousness for the right hand and for the left. Through honor and dishonor, through slander and praise, we are treated as impostors, yet are true. As unknown and yet well known. As dying, and behold, we live. As punished and yet not killed. As sorrowful, yet always rejoicing. As poor, yet making many rich. As having nothing, yet possessing everything. And in Ephesians, which we heard from earlier, Ephesians 4, 21 through 24, assuming that you have heard about him and were taught in him as the truth is in Jesus, to put off your old self, which belongs to the former manner of life and is corrupt through deceitful desires, and to be renewed in the spirit of your minds, and to put on the new self, created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. And it also in Ephesians 4:32, be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another as God in Christ forgave you. Colossians 3, put on then as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, bearing with one another. And if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other, as the Lord has forgiven you, so you must also forgive. And above all these, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body. And be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another with all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. And whatever you do, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. All right, one last passage. Remember that really long list of bad moves in Galatians? Well, here's also what Galatians says. You're probably pretty familiar with this. Galatians 5, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. Right? And again, he talks about such things. These are the kinds of things that the Spirit produces in us. It's not an exhaustive list, but we're supposed to look like this. We're supposed to live like this. These are the good moves that God wants us to make, right? So keep your conduct honorable, beautiful, an outward sign of an inward goodness, and with a godliness that is attractive to others. Now, here's the thing. If people don't see your good moves as a reflection of God's heart, if they don't recognize it as that, it actually says more about them than you. And that's what Peter's getting at in the rest of the verse. He says, keep your conduct honorable so that when they speak against you as evildoers, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day of visitation. Right? When we come face to face with the one true living God, our good deeds and our honorable conduct will actually prove just how far off base our accusers were from the real truth. Our good deeds put our accusers to shame in light of God's glory. Right? So there are good moves we can make which proclaim the excellencies of God, and there are bad moves we can make which take us in the wrong direction. Right? And we know that. But how we choose to live really matters. So this morning I want to close with one other question. And this is way simpler than the first one. And the question is simply this. What's your next move? Right? What's your next move? See, I think it can get pretty easy to get stagnant in our walk with Jesus. Like we just go into autopilot, go through the motions. Like we're not really messing with things at all. We're just kind of letting life roll by. But maybe as you heard these words, there were some things that kind of tweaked your heart a little bit. You know, maybe the Holy Spirit pinged you, kind of said, hey, I want you to hear this. It could have been regarding some bad moves you've been making in life. that he wants you to set straight. Maybe it's a good move or two that he wants you to step into. We got to pay attention to that. And just simply ask, God, what's my next move? What is your next move? And again, maybe as you look at the chessboard of life in front of you, it looks like a mess. Maybe you made some bad moves that have put you in a vulnerable or compromised position. And you know you can't go back and undo those moves, but you can't ask forgiveness from the Lord. Right? You can repent. You can have a change of heart, have a change of direction, go and sin no more. Right? You can receive the mercy he's offering you and make different decisions from here on out. But that's the question. What's your next move? Maybe you look at your chessboard and you go, yeah, kind of in a position of strength. Doing pretty good. I'm doing well. But there are still moves God wants you to make. Right? You can't just wait it out at this point. And so you too have to ask yourself, what's the next move? Right? Your chessboard looks different than mine. I mean, yeah, we're playing by the same rules, but the moves I've made are different than what each of you have made. And I'm the only one that can make the next move on my board. You're the only one that can make the next move on your board. So as you kind of survey things, as you kind of take a look and realize, look, the game is not over. The work is not done. So what am I going to do now? Right, with my life that proclaims the excellencies of him who called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. Because that's what we're called to do. So again, just one more time this morning, what's your next move? What's your next move? Right. Let's take a moment and pray, and we'll wrap up with one more song of worship this morning. Heavenly Father, your word is pretty descriptive about things that we should be doing, things that we shouldn't be doing. You tell us pretty clearly moves that are, well, good moves that proclaim your excellencies and show the world around us who you are. And there are moves we can make that are just the opposite. Obviously, Father, you want us to be making the good moves, but this morning, we just simply consider what's in front of us, where we've been, what we've done, what our chessboard looks like. And God, if we are looking at things and going, man, it's a mess this morning, I've really messed this up, well, we can call out to you and seek your forgiveness, and you extend it to us. And we do that now. Just simply say, God, I know I've messed up. I know I'm heading in the wrong direction. I want to turn my heart back to you. And the great thing about you, Lord, is that you are willing to forgive no matter what. So we ask for that and receive that this morning. And God, if we are in a place where things are generally going pretty well, we're really striving to follow you, we are not done. So give us the strength to continue to take the next move in the right direction, to keep pursuing you, to keep living life in a way that proclaims your excellencies. Because you are so good, and you have done so much for us. And you have taken us out of the kingdom of darkness, called us into your marvelous light, and we are grateful for that. Thank you for the sacrifice of your son Jesus who made that possible. And Lord, lead us in our next move, whatever that looks like. Whatever you want us to address, whatever you want us to do so that we can proclaim your excellencies in our ways. We lift this before you in the name of Jesus, we pray.
Thanks for listening to the podcast of the Portico Church in Oshkosh, Wisconsin. You can find out more about our church at porticocommunity.com.